Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Thou shalt not kill. That's the 6th of the 10 commandments. And on the surface, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, may seem easily understood. It is short, is to the point. It appears there may not be much to consider. But there is more involved than first might meet the eye, because the commandment introduces and suggests many related matters. There are hints and insinuations involved in this teaching that raise some of the most profound teaching of the Bible. Therefore, we must approach this study with caution, being careful to consider all the counsel of God, and not focus our attention too narrowly, lest we omit what God includes and become guilty of adding what He has not included. What did the commandment mean to the Israelite people to whom it was given? I read in Genesis 9, 5 and 6, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Because man is distinctive, being created in the image of God, being spirit as well as flesh, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God prohibited man from taking another man's life. Punishment for disrespect of life was to forfeit one's own right of life. Go back even earlier in the history of the human family and observe God's displeasure toward Cain because he killed his brother Abel. So the 6th commandment is a restatement of a truth that had existed from the beginning. The word translated in our English language, kill, literally means murder. Dear friend, all killing is not murder. Lives are sometimes lost accidentally. We have noted that taking life as punishment was not forbidden. Even life taken in warfare is not under consideration here, because the same God that gave the 6th commandment often commanded Israel to wage war. Obviously, both God and Israel understood these distinctions. They also realized that it did not refer to taking animal life because animal sacrifices were commanded of them in worship to God. What is prohibited in the 6th commandment is worship, the intentional, deliberate destruction of innocent human life, or taking one into one's own hands, as it were, the right and the power of avenging that does not belong to the individual. There was a lawful and reasoned way and manner for taking life, but there was the unlawful way of taking life also. In Romans 12, 17 through 21, it teaches the Christian a different attitude and action toward enemies than personal vengeance. A practice of what we call the golden rule would forever banish murder from society. This commandment, included also in the doctrine of Christ, forbade taking personal vengeance and committing murder. Let us consider some related matters once we understand that it's murder that we're talking about in this commandment. Under the new commandment of Christ, Paul teaches the right of the civil power to wield the sword, an instrument of death, in its service to God as a minister of God, ordained of God, as the civil power does the work that God has appointed of the government, Romans 13, 1 through 7. Some people make the grave mistake of confusing what God taught is the work of the church and the work of the government. They also confuse the means and the methods God allows in the conduct of the church and of the government. The spiritual warfare of the church does not resort to carnal warfare and physical action. But the work of the government not only allows, but it calls for it, with God's direction and approval. It is gross error to contend that the civil power must be governed and regulated by the rules and directions God has given for the conduct of the spiritual kingdom. Even Jesus recognized this distinction when he was taken by his enemies, but he said his kingdom was not of this world, and if it had been of this world, then would his servants fight, John 18:36. And by this, our Lord shows there is a difference between the operation of the spiritual kingdom and the conduct of the civil power. The issue of the role of civil government is not our primary theme, however. It is only one of those related matters that suggest, in consideration of the Sixth Commandment, that we must consider. In our time, there's much talk about what is called mercy killing, the taking of life from those who are terminally ill, possibly infirm beyond any hope of recovery, maybe even advanced in years, suffering and with the desire to pass from this life. But are we given the right to take the life of those who are so infirmed? This commandment certainly relates to this question. We must ever remember the sanctity and the sacredness of human life due to the fact that we are created in the image of God. Suffering provokes sympathy within the breast of every sensitive human being. To witness those near and dear to us in situations of hopelessness provokes the deepest emotions within us. But we cannot allow our emotions to overrule the teaching of God. Willful, deliberate, intentional destruction of innocent human life is murder. While it is difficult for us to bear, and often difficult to understand why certain conditions prevail, we have no authority to dismiss God's teaching to accommodate our feelings. We are of the strong conviction that such provocation of death violates this very divine sentiment, "Thou shalt not kill." And due to the limitation of this discussion, we do not intend to extensively discuss the matter of taking life in times of warfare. Realizing this is a highly controversial matter, it will suffice in this study to simply contend that the Sixth Commandment does not address that subject specifically, because all killing, even in such conditions as warfare and punishment or self-defense, they are not murder in the sight of God. The same God that gave this commandment permitted each of these things. The role of a Christian in government is another highly controversial matter, but we would contend that the government is ordained a minister of God for the performance of that which is good. The very inconsistent to suggest that children of the devil are the only ones who can have fellowship with God in doing what God calls good, while his own children are prohibited from it. And again, we must be reminded that the conduct of civil affairs and the conduct of the spiritual kingdom are not regulated by the same regulations from God. Each serves a function, and the functions are not identical any more than the function of the home and the church are identical, although overlapping at times. Even the home and the church operate under different rules. Parents may well resort to spanking children in their upbringing. But certainly the church never has the right to engage in such disciplinary measures upon its members. But Christians can consistently be involved in both home and church. And so can Christians be involved in both the proper performance of the affairs of the church and the affairs of a civil government. We would like to suggest that each one do some serious consideration of the matter of a Christian as an officer of the civil government, or as a soldier, by thinking of something once presented to me by one of my children, even when he was rather young. But his reasoning was more profound than one might think. He asked me, if only a non-Christian could attend to the affairs of government as some teach, especially the enforcement of the law, the protection of our liberties, the preservation from wicked invaders, and even self-defense, and when I suggested, which at that time I thought that the Christian should not be involved in such matters, and that God would provide so the Christian would never have to be involved, he remarked, "Then we better not convert too many, because there would not be anyone left in the world to provide the protection and execute the punishment against the wicked." I've thought about that, and you need to think about that. I suggest you seriously think about that. Does not even this necessitate the propriety of God's people being involved in matters that God has ordained? I am of the conviction that it does permit such activity for the Christian to be in government. I realize that all will not agree with me, but I consider them to be as wrong as I was once wrong. In Matthew 12, when Jesus was accused of casting out devils in the name of the devil, he commented, How can one enter into the house of the strong man and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? The implication is that the strong man could rightfully protect himself and his properties against the injuries and harm that an intruder might bring against him. We have a God-given duty to provide for those who are in our care and custody, including our families. Does this provision mean only the supply of food and shelter and clothing? Does it not also mean their spiritual provision? Would it not also embrace their protection from evildoers? Well, we're convinced that it does. Self-defense and the defense of others is the motive here. The taking of a life in that process may neither be the motive nor the goal. Inadvertently, the loss of life may occur. But murder is not what is committed in such an instance as that. And murder is what the Sixth Commandment forbids. Jesus carried the commandment even further than did the law of Moses. In Matthew 5:21-22, he spoke against hatred. That's the motive behind murder, as hatred is a sin as much as the actual murder. Hatred against others is not tolerated by our Lord. We should show love even toward our enemies. We should never deliberately seek their harm. And while we consider our love for our enemies, we also must consider love that we must have for those of our care that our enemies might seek to destroy or harm. Surely love for family and brethren, and even for self, takes priority over love for those who seek destruction. That there are priorities involved in loving is not a debatable matter. All will consider that proper and expected. The Sixth Commandment, Thou shalt not kill, included also in the teaching of Christ. It is not as broad as some have been led to believe. All killing is not forbidden. Murder, born of hatred and intent to harm, is forbidden. It is totally incompatible with the will of God. Such it was for physical Israel, such it remains for spiritual Israel, the people of God, the Lord's church, the Christian. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.